Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host, Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the jackiewoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence. By doing that, we can live from the inside out. When your heart matters, you'll be able to claim control over your choices and your creations. Each week, we talk about one of the qualities that make up the energy that you express every day. Those energies we call heart qualities or heart energies. And if you want to join with us in meditating and exploring these energies together, you can not only listen to our show, but you can sign up for the weekly email to be sent to you of a heart energy, and that we'll be talking about. It'll come on Saturday morning, and then it will have a little quote. Today's quote says, growth, creation in the making. As we meditate on these, we try to include both the female and the male parts of ourselves, the mother and father God, the right brain and the left brain in the mental chakra, include both of those parts. So we talk about heart pictures that we get in the right brain, and then we talk about what those mean to us, what that particular quality has done in our life. We talk about stories that have happened. We try to bring it as clearly as we can, but it's our individual picture. It's not just your truth, it just is our truth. But sometimes if we combine truths and expand who we are, then we grow. And that's what the energy is today, is growth and how to do spiritual growth. Russell, did you have a story come to mind around this?
The first thing that came to me when I found out that we were going to be doing growth, this show, was a scene from my life as an early parent, you know, when my first child was just growing up. I was a history major in college, and I grew up in the South, so whenever we'd go on a vacation, we'd tour, like, Civil War battle sites and the Etowah Indian mounds and stuff like that. And I got very attuned to that sense of being in a place where history had happened and going, wow, you know, this is where it all took place. And I could kind of feel, you know, all the stuff that had happened there at those sites. And being a parent is sort of like that. You hit those moments where you're aware that, you know, this is going to change everything. This is history in the making right here. And the one that immediately jumped out at me was my first child learning to walk. That my wife and I were, you know, at the stage where we're holding her hands like little puppet strings and walking her around, and she can walk pretty well. But if you let go of her hands, she sits down on her butt. And we were just playing with her one day, you know, just walking her over to the other one, and then the other parent would take over and walk her back. And then pretty soon it was, you know, just walk her a few feet and let go at the end and let her kind of stumble forward into the arms of the next parent. And pretty soon, there came a moment when she was just kind of staggering away from your hands towards the other parent. And it looked like she's going to fall, but she didn't. And she made it like 5 steps over to the other parent and turned around. There was just this big smile on her face. And I had one of those moments. And I said, well, you know, this is it. This is a moment of history. This is the moment where everything changed for her and for us as parents. And growth always sort of has that feel to me. It has that, you know, who was it? Roman general that crossed this river, the Rubicon, and he said, there's no going back from here. It was one of those moments. And anytime I've had a breakthrough in class, or I've journaled at home, and I've reached some new awareness of myself, and I feel like I've grown, I have that sense of there's a dividing line here. Something changed. I'm not the same person I was 2 minutes ago. And growth just sort of has that feel to me of history in the making.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's movement. And the picture I got when I was meditating and got quiet in my mind and my body and my emotions and just let my spirit talk to my mind, and the way it talks many times is through pictures. I got the picture of a conveyor belt.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's moving you forward.
Right.
Moving forward. And you can set the pace to be in rhythm with your life. What happens so oftentimes, however, is people may even say they're growing, but it's not in rhythm with their life. Everything else is moving a little faster.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you know, I had the image of the Lucille Ball TV show, remember, with the chocolates, with the conveyor belt going and her trying to keep up and her eating half of them.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't keep up. Well, your heart will never make your growth conveyor belt go faster than you can keep up. But what happens so often is we slow it way down, and then the rest of the things like our career and our children and our relationships, we put those on the fast conveyor belt, and they get most of our attention and most of the movement in our life. So I like that image of the conveyor belt. That says a lot to me in that the speed, there's a speed to that moving forward.
Uh-huh.
So I really, really like that. Before I talk a little bit about my story the memory that came up for me, I want to, before I forget, Terry, our helper here, it was checking in our Facebook, and she said that we've had some very nice comments on our Facebook. Linda Green said her image of growth was climbing over a fallen tree instead of walking around it or turning back. I really like that.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, growth isn't always just the easiest way.
Right.
So that was really cool. And then we said, and Sonia gave a nice comment. We want to thank Sonia for that. So if you have a Facebook, check out our Facebook and comment. We love hearing from you. It's like a family that way. So please do that. So when I was thinking of a story, of course, since I've been a spiritual growth teacher for 30 years practically, I have thousands of stories. And I really could pick any number of students that have just had fabulous growth stories. So I picked one. And this doesn't, for all of you that are listening, this doesn't mean your story's not fabulous. But this is someone who came to me at age 14. She wasn't sent by her parents. She came to me on her own. She had heard about me through one of her girlfriends. Her girlfriend's mother had come to me, and she had heard about me. And she had had a trauma happen in her life. She'd gone to her parents. They didn't pay any attention to her. So she got a job at 14, called and set up an appointment with me, had to travel on the rapid transit across Atlanta, which wasn't easy because you had to change buses to get to my house. Started setting up appointments with me at age 14, earning her own money, making her way across Atlanta at age 14. Now, she's still with me today, and she's in her 30s. And her journey started out with that kind of determination, and it has never, ever, ever stopped. That kind of committed, dedicated going forward is what it takes in growth. She got married right out of high school, and quickly started having children. She had four children, but that didn't stop her. She went on to college as a married woman with four children, worked a job while she was in college, had four kids, and never in any of all of this did she ever slow down the conveyor belt to her spiritual growth. Not ever. Not ever. And then, you know, she now is a wife, mother, career woman, very successful, still if anything, has speeded up that conveyor belt to her spiritual growth. But it never was at a slower pace than her life, and her life was going at a pretty fast pace. And that's the point I really want to hammer home today, is that if your spiritual growth is not going at the same pace as everything else, you are not fulfilling your script, because your life script for you is going to have spiritual growth as the main pace setter mm-hmm. in your life. So I wanted to share that story because I think it's pretty amazing. Story of a dedication and commitment to growth. Because what I hear so often is, well, I can't take any classes or do any work on myself now because we have relatives coming. Or, you know, summer's here and we have a vacation, or we're terribly in debt.
Uh-huh.
Or I have children. Or, you know, my husband won't do it with me, or my wife won't do it with me.
Got to paint the house this summer.
I've got to paint the house, yes. I mean, the excuses go on and on, but what that basically says to me is that your conveyor belt is either, for spiritual growth, is either totally stopped or going at a much slower pace than your rest of your life, or how on earth would you stay alive?
Yeah.
So, that's my sermon for the day.
Get
all wound up with that one.
That yes. was a great illustration of the meditation you had.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. My image that came to me in meditation was sort of a little movie. You know, in the past, growth has seemed sort of like a series of tests for me sometimes. Like I said, it's that moment where everything changes. So if you make it over that hump, if you make it past that moment, then you pass the test, you're on to the next grade, you graduated, so to speak. So it always had that sort of test feel to it, but in my meditation today, I got a much different look at it. So maybe I've grown a little bit around this energy. But in the meditation, I was in the middle of this scene where I'm working out with a personal trainer, and the personal trainer is watching me doing an assessment. You know, how many push-ups can you do? How many sit-ups can you do? Can you do any pull-ups? How fast can you get your heart rate up jogging in place? You know, just doing all these little assessments. And I'm thinking of it as a test. And at the end, I'm thinking, you know, am I healthy? Did I do well? And the trainer says, you know, it's not like that. We don't do these assessments to see if you're good enough. We just see what you need to work on next. Like, for instance, if you want to do more sit-ups without hurting your back, you're going to need to loosen your trunk muscles. So we would suggest that you do some alternate toe touches with, you know, alternate hands going down. And I said, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. That would really stretch those muscles. And he said, yeah, that's all we're looking for. What's the piece that will help you maximize yourself? There is no test here. And I said, oh, that's a cool way to look at growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if we think of it, I like Linda's that you have to go over the tree, not just around it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you don't just take a side road. You go over whatever is in front of you, and sometimes it doesn't seem easy, but the thing is, it's harder to go around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I want to take just a minute and acknowledge one of our sponsors. This is where you can go green online. You can reduce consumption by exploring a gently used boutique. It's called BountifulBuys.com. BountifulBuys.com has clothes, accessories, and gifts that will go easy on the planet and on your wallet. So check it out, BountifulBuys.com. We have an email from Linda in Little Rock, Arkansas. You mentioned life script earlier. What does that mean? Thank you, Linda. I tend to talk, you know, when you teach classes for years like I have, you teach the material that you're told to teach, but you have your own vocabulary. You get to choose your own words, so to speak. And those words sort of become things that you use over and over. So when I talk about a life script, I'm talking about when you came on to this life, you agreed to certain lessons. You'll find it in your astrological chart. You know, if you believe that you came in with certain people that you were to be around, or your parents are a part of that lesson, your siblings part of that lesson, all those that came with you came because they were there to either support you in getting a lesson in that they were bringing you a heart quality to support you in, obviously, or not so obviously, in that they didn't seem to bring that quality, and you would have to search for it. So you come agreeing to complete certain lessons. Now, if you don't, you get to try again, but you come with an agreement, a spiritual agreement, that your heart and those around you have all agreed on together. So if you don't do your part of growth, you let down those around you too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, the piece that it stands out for me in that, sort of like in my meditation this morning, where you just get suggestions as to what would help you. You know, if you need to do more sit-ups, you probably should work on stretching first. You'll encounter situations like that that you've created, that scripted on a higher level, where you've set up these people are going to come into your life and they're going to challenge you around this topic, and you think, well, this isn't helping me. You know, how is stretching helping me do more sit-ups? So it's not a linear process, this script that we've set up. It sometimes seems to go off on a little side road, and we think, well, I'm not going where I need to go. I wanted to do more sit-ups. But actually, what you need in order to do that is to stretch first. So your script will kind of take you off onto what looks like a side road, but you've got to trust it and learn that next step before you go where you think you need to go.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that listening all the time. And you will follow your script if you listen. Mm-hmm. We have to be careful that we don't just listen to our emotional body or to our wounded body, mm-hmm. Those parts of us, but to our heart. And that's why we do this program, is to teach people to listen and to get the images of a heart quality. That becomes a subject for the day, and that gives you direction rather than just your emotional fantasy for the day giving you direction. You have something concrete to work from. Yeah.
And it helps to recognize what these heart qualities feel like, which is why we do this show. Like I said, growth for me always has that history in the making sort of gravity to it. Like, ba-bom, and you know, I hear music on the soundtrack going dun-dun in the back of my head. And when you get to feel that energy, next time it happens, you'll recognize the energy instead of just your emotions or your thoughts around things.
Yes.
And you'll be able to follow your script better instead of being led astray by all your little conscious thoughts and feelings that pull you one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Learning to listen. That keeps you going steady on the conveyor belt. If you get pulled off, you do like that Lucille Ball show when she had the candies on the conveyor belt and she couldn't keep up. You know, she was just grabbing them and sticking them in her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as funny as that was, it really does have application to what happens so often.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't keep listening to the right voice all the time. Okay, we have another email from Sam in Atlanta, Georgia. What do I do about my marriage? I want to grow and my wife doesn't. I love her. How do I grow and stay married? You know, I hear that question a lot, Sam. Mm-hmm. I really do. But in my book, Soulmate or Cellmate, and I would highly recommend that you check it out on the website, I talk about this very subject. And I've done many, 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 many 6 years of radio shows for other people. And lots of people write and call in and ask this question, or write in. A marriage has to grow. And if both people aren't growing, then it becomes a stagnant thing. Just like if you're not if you don't have spiritual growth, since the creative force is that spiritual part of yourself, if you're not having spiritual growth in your life, there's no creative force flowing through you. You're just doing things, thinking things, feeling things, but no creative force is flowing through you. So if you don't have growth in your life, you won't have growth in your marriage. And both people have to have it for the marriage as that third entity circle that I talk about to move forward. There's you, there's your partner, and then together you create the marriage, the relationship space, mm-hmm. which isn't exactly like you or exactly like your wife. It is what the two of you bring together. But if what you're bringing together doesn't have that creative force flowing through it, then you can pretty much guarantee that it's going to go stagnant at some point. Just the newness of a beginning can keep you alive, or the activity of children, or sometimes just the changes that happen in jobs and things like that can be stimulating. But the actual creation of newness that happens, that vitality of life, that fire that makes life passionate and exciting, is going to die if you aren't both bringing that force to it.
I was lucky in that I played in bands and hung out with musicians before I got married, because band situations, musicians are flakes usually, and band situations are highly volatile. The chance of you staying together with the four or five people that you're currently playing with are almost nil. Somebody's going to have...
Musicians are creative and have a lot of right brain, but not necessarily that left brain structure.
Yeah, there's going to be some moment of creative differences that'll, you know, probably cause you to split at some point. So you get used to the idea that people are going to leave, and you're going to have to go find another bass player, or, you know, find another recording studio or whatever. It's very volatile. And having gone through that before I got married, I was used to the idea that whenever any big trauma happens, if somebody leaves or somebody threatens to leave or whatever, it becomes a chance for everybody to sort of recommit and say, well, this is what's, forget what we were about. This is what my purpose is now. What's your purpose? Why are you still here? And then see where those two touched. And so I got lots of little mini lessons in growth about how an upsetting situation, somebody leaving or somebody, you know, storming out of a recording session, can be a time when you get to grow more by re-examining where your two purposes touch, or three or four, however many people you're involved. And that's really what marriage has been like for me, is the idea that whenever something comes up, it's a chance for both of you to say, okay, forget who we were last month. Here's who I am now. Who are you? Where do those two touch?
Mm-hmm. And as you do that, you continually merge your purposes from two growing people. The relationship does grow.
Yeah.
Now, what we have to do is, you know, when we first get together and everything's just sort of, we're kind of tiptoeing around each
right.
other and being nice and showing our better sides.
The
honeymoon period. You know, we want to hang on to that.
Uh-huh.
But we can't hang on to anything if we're growing. We have to be willing to keep bringing new purposes and merging those together and joining those. Yes. You know, we have a CD called A Toolbox for Personal Growth. I was thinking that that would be an excellent, excellent tool, because it's a toolbox. It's all the little things you need to grow. And so check it out on our website, A Toolbox for Personal Growth. It's got a lot of goodies in there to help you to grow, because we need help. I mean, we may have the intent that we want to grow, but the things in life, instead of being used as ways and stepping stones to growth, what happens is they become blocks to our growth.
Yeah, when we designed that Toolbox for Personal Growth CD. That was the original idea that we brought into it, is growth is what we're all about. People are going to come to us all the time going, where do I start? And we need just a preset package that'll give them lots of little ways to put this stuff into action. And I think that CD perfectly answers a lot of people's beginning questions. But if you want to go back even further, the very basis for growth that we teach, you might also look at our first book, Spiritual Energy Cycles.
Yes, where we talk about the growth and the manifestation cycle. Mm-hmm. And we mention that every time we have the show in our introduction, where we talk about the fact that if you're letting your heart matter, then you'll be able to claim control over your choices and your creations. Mm-hmm. It's letting your heart matter is the growth part, and then once you let it matter and you claim it, then you get to claim choices around what you manifest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have another email from Julie in Charlotte, North Carolina. Can my fiancé and I choose different growth paths? I'm into Buddhism, and he is much more traditional. Can we grow together this way? Well, yes, you can. You don't have to have the exact same path. It's very nice to be able to share that, because your spiritual growth should be your number one priority of importance. So it would be nice, but it's not a necessity. If you're open to each other and respectful of their path, you can have different paths, but it's important that you both are growing and that both are equally committed to growth on that path. What do you think about that, Russell?
I've worked with a tremendous number of, you know, highly religious people that come for massage and stuff like that, because you have to have some sort of spirituality before you get interested in what we teach here. And for a lot of people, that spirituality starts with some religion, whether that be Christianity or Buddhism or whatever. Unfortunately, a lot of religions sort of instill a fear that if you listen to any idea other than what they're saying, that it'll corrupt you and take you off of your spiritual path. And so religions sort of block growth in some people, I think, because it makes them so afraid to encounter any differences. One of the most impactful pieces in my personal growth was a session that I had with you one time. You know, I'm a martial arts teacher, and in classes that I teach, I'll get people, I'll say, take a shot at me, throw a punch. And I think nothing of it. You know, I'm going to block it. I'm going to move out of the way. I'm going to show them something that I'm trying to teach them. And I never feel threatened when somebody hauls back their fist like they're going to punch me, because most of the time I'm asking them to do that. It's just a chance for me to practice what I'm about to show them. And you pointed out to me, you said, when something new and different that you don't know how to handle comes at you, a lot of people get stuck there. They say, I can't grow because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. And you said, you get stuck there a lot, and it's so unnecessary. Just think of it like your karate class. When somebody brings you something that you find different or offensive or not exactly the way you would do it, just say, thank you for giving me a chance to practice my skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is how I grow. Thank you for giving me a chance to do that. These are my beliefs. Thank you for giving me a chance to espouse them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like blocking a punch or stepping out of the way. It's just practicing your art.
Mm-hmm. Yes. However, any path, you have to be careful that it's ongoing and continually moving. If it's teaching the same thing over and over, whether it's in metaphysics or whether it's in a religion or whatever, there's going to be that in all areas that are, quote, called growth.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are a lot. I've worked with a lot of ministers through the years that have been totally about moving their churches forward and on a growthful path. So, you know, it's it really depends on the group.
All right.
Not the label, but the group. But you can tell if people have been with them for years and are continuing to grow, then that particular organization that you've associated with in on your growth path, and it really does help to be with a group of people because the support is very, very important. It's hard to do it on your own. So if you're the group of people you're with are moving, you know, you feel them changing. Not just they're always nice, but they're changing, and are willing to confront and to willing to detach and willing to move forward, to climb over that tree that Linda talked about.
Helping you challenge yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you know that they have that creative force flowing through them. Mm-hmm. It's time for another commercial. And I want to talk this time about the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat. Don't just get away from it. Go home healthier. If you get away from it all and you go home exhausted, which happens so many times in vacations, you have to recuperate from your vacation. At the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat, you can go home healthier. You can go home rested because we have all the amenities of a bed and breakfast plus. We have a health food store, fitness room, peaceful walking trails, 10 alternative healers, and a group of people that are around you who are welcoming you and making you feel nurtured and at home. This is a place where retreat becomes renewal. So check it out at the Ottawahee, Adawehi, Ottawahee.com. This email is from Tina in Nashville, Tennessee. I have a fear of growth in that I'm afraid if I grow too much, my life will change in ways I may not like. I'm worried I'll lose my job, family, friends. Can you help me with my fear? You want to start with that, Russell?
One of the things that really helps me with that, and I think we all, you know, fear moving forward sometimes because, you know, where you are is at least known. If it's not terribly comfortable, at least it's not something that you know nothing about. And so constantly changing and getting bigger is kind of inherently scary. And I think we all struggle with that no matter how long we've been on our growth path. One of the things that really helps me is every once in a while, we, as a family, my kids and my wife and I, will get out our family photos and look back, you know, through 10, 15 years of photos of when the kids were little, when we went on our first trip. There's a picture from when we were building our house. And you get to see through those pictures that you're growing all the time. You're changing all the time. You know, you're not the same person now that you were 10 years ago when you built your house, but you're not worse off, really. I mean, growing didn't kill you. look at how far you've come and look at all those happy experiences that you had along the way. It is not a deadly process. It happens all the time and you're doing it already and it's full of happy memories. And looking back like that really gives me the fortitude to say, oh, okay, great. Well, let's grow some more then. This has been a great experience so far.
Yes, I worked with a little 10-year-old girl today, and I asked her, she told me her dreams, and we looked at the symbols in those and looked at the meaning of them. And I said, what do you think is the subject of these? And she said, change. Right on. She's getting ready to go to middle school. Mm-hmm. Big change. And she was able to see change and was saying just that, you know, well, I'm afraid of some things and I'm real excited about some things. I think the two automatically go hand in hand, mm-hmm. though, when we're looking at change. And that's good because one is the excitement that's going to pull us on beyond our fear. And if we just let the fear overtake us, then, like you say, go back and remember, hey, this happened and I got through it.
Mm-hmm.
This happened and it actually turned out really well. And I really like that example you gave.
And I think you'll find that most of what you consider to be the great memories in your life were not ones where you were doing the same old thing. They were moments of growth where you took a new step or you, you know, invited something new into your life. Those are the things that we take pictures of. Those are the things that we look back on and go, oh, yeah, wasn't that great? Nobody goes, well, there's a picture of me sitting in the same chair that I've sat in for the last 20 years doing about the same thing. I must be watching TV or something. Man, that was a good time, wasn't it? You know, you don't look back fondly on the same old, but that's what we're afraid that we might be losing.
You know, Diane did the slideshow for our 12-year anniversary here, mm-hmm. and it does help to say, oh my goodness, look how much we've changed,
mm-hmm.
because you do forget, and to go back and say, and that was a really scary time when I first came here from Atlanta to Columbus, North Carolina. I was convinced I was going to be the bag lady of Columbus because I had spent every cent I had getting the land and building the first building. That was it.
Uh-huh.
That was it. That was all there was. And I had no proof that anything was going to go further than that. But if that creative force of growth is the priority and the primary thing of your life, that creative force will guarantee you. You may have the fear, but you don't have to listen to it because you can let it go and know and trust in that creative force of growth. If you're into growth, if that's the priority you've chosen, spiritual growth, yes, there will be change. But that creative force always creates, and mm-hmm. It creates perfectly. It may not look perfect at the time, but it creates perfectly. So now, you know, we have 12 buildings and have added on more land and have continued to grow physically as well as spiritually.
Yeah.
So thank you, Tina. We can't take away your fear. We can just help you to pick up on the excitement side. We have an email from Sarah in Atlanta, Georgia. It seems like I grow a little and then I stop. I get comfortable with my new life and I don't want to work so hard. How do we move through a growth boulder when all seems lost?
Oh, can I start on that one?
Certainly.
I did a massage on a young lady today. I think she was in her mid-20s. And she has her first real job. You know, she's away from home and she works at I guess it's a veterinary place, but she does the dog kennel boarding. You know, people bring their dogs in, they're going on summer vacation. Dog stays at the kennel for a couple of weeks, and she's in charge of all of that. And she was saying, you know, just her natural inclination is to do a really good job and clean every cage. And then she goes, after that, she goes out and works the register and people bringing in new stuff. And she said her coworkers all just kind of sit around and let her do the work. And she, you know, didn't know how to change that. Was felt out of balance, felt unhappy, knew that she needed to take the next step, but didn't know where to go with it. And I could really sense when I heard her talk that she felt that she had to fix everything all at once. She had to come up with something that she could say that would just solve everything or catapult her beyond even caring or whatever. And I said, you don't have to do that. You know, it's like paying on a mortgage for your house. You just put a little bit into it every day. Just think of one place where you could say today, you know, I've got a lot to do. Could you go get that one kennel for me and scrub that out while I'm doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And every little bit that you pay into that new life wherein you're in balance is a bit of your time and energy that didn't go into the old life where you're out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just gradually pay into that new life, pretty soon you're living that new life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to find some master stroke that'll make you grow and change all at once. You just gradually pay towards that new life that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, we do talk about baby steps. You know, it is easy when you've gone through a big lesson and it's very exciting. You feel like you climbed to the other side of the tree. I keep using Linda's example. To the other side of the tree and like, oh boy, this is a beautiful field. I just think I'll sit down and take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean there aren't rest times. Sometimes we do get to, but even in a rest time, we're usually learning or empowering some part of ourself that's maybe a quieter part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of those energies like tenderness and kindness and compassion, you know, those are quieter energies than the strength and the power and the commitment and, you know, those. So, you know, there are times it seems like it's kind of quiet, but it's really never stops.
No.
So if we're stopped, it's because we have attached to saying, I don't want anything else to change. And we do have to watch it. We do have to be careful about those times because attachment is easy. Because if it's comfortable and we don't know what's ahead, that's where the trust comes in. You know, the last class I taught, the last two classes, the meditation energy I asked for was trust. Mm-hmm. Because that is the backbone of growth. We have to keep that trust at all times. And like you said, looking back over the past, that helps to build that trust. Just saying, I know the creative force is working through me, that builds the trust. Having some of those tools we talked about in the CD, toolbox for personal growth, that gives you different tools when you're at different spaces in that growth cycle. But the baby steps help too.
That's a great point you made, that it's always going on. You may not think it, because like I said in my meditation, I was really hooked into those big moments that feel like tests. But even when you're doing something that seems off track, like learning about tenderness or something, you really need that for whatever your next big step is.
Mm-hmm.
And those little spaces in between, growth is happening. You just don't see it at the time. If you look back on it later in your family photos or whatever, you'll go, oh, yeah, that was a great time. We learned a lot there. But in the moment, if it's not, you know, just hitting you really hard, you think, well, I'm not growing.
Mm-hmm.
But you always are, mm-hmm. always growing.
If that's your priority, if mm-hmm. that's your intent. And the only way you keep it as an intent is to make sure that you stay clear in your emotions so that you're not making fantasy emotional decisions, right, and calling it the heart's voice. We have another email from Melanie in Virginia Beach, Virginia. It says, I can't stand being around people who are stagnant. I'm never okay with status quo. How do I keep from going crazy when I encounter half-dead people? That's a good one. Well, you know, when you're really on a fast growth spurt, it can be irritating to see somebody just, you know, choosing to hang on to the same old, same old. I went through that this weekend, actually. I saw a couple that I just love dearly. I really do care for them. And they're making choices to get on the fast conveyor belt with career and starting a new business and a new child and on that fast conveyor and slow down the conveyor belt of growth. And, you know, you can see that happening. And at one point tried to say, you know, these need to come together here. But, of course, when that's their choice, they don't necessarily listen. And I was beginning to get really, really frustrated, like, what do I do to make these people listen? And so, Sarah, basically what you have to do, is it Sarah that I'm talking to? No, it's Melanie that was this one. Melanie, what you really have to do is you have to just say, that's their choice. That's their choice, and it's not my choice. And that energy that I see that they're missing in commitment, I have that commitment, and I'll resonate it with their heart, even if I can't resonate it all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be a love priority in my life. They can't resonate with me all the way down, but the hearts still contribute.
Yeah, and that would be one of those times, like when the band breaks up, where you have to stop and you reassess. and you say, okay, this person is not wrecking my life. They're bringing me a chance to say, well, I recommit to what's important to me. Now, how do you match up with that?
Mm-hmm. And you may have to do some redefining with those people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's time for another sponsor. This sponsor is a new one. This is La Roca Pizzas. They are leading the healthy pizza revolution. They are, I mean, we all love pizza, but sometimes we feel a little guilty because it's not real healthy. Well, there's one out there now that is healthy. They're Weight Watcher friendly, diabetic friendly, heart friendly, made with organic whole grains. Or if you like, they have six different sprouted grains. They're high in fiber, low in sodium. In fact, the lowest of all frozen pizzas on the market in sodium. Plus, they are all natural, no artificial anything. And it's true. You can now have pizza and eat healthy at the same time with AC La Roca Pizzas. AC La Roca Pizzas are healthy. Thank you.
Kids, if you're listening, go down and get me some La Roca pizza.
And if you can't get it, you can go to their website because all stores haven't started handling it yet. Teresa from Asheville. I thought Teresa was not going to join us today. She's been a regular from the very beginning. Says, what's your secret for staying motivated when growth seems hard? Do you want to start with that, Russell?
One of the baby steps that I came up with, you know, I've already mentioned several of them, looking back over the photos and taking each upset and trauma as a chance to recommit. But the other one that occurred to me, and we harp on this all the time, but it is so true for growth, is journaling. Every night I journal what has occurred to me that day, the setbacks I've had, the triumphs I've had, the understandings that came to me, the places where I feel I'm still kind of befuddled and will need to look at tomorrow. Write all that down. And I've gone through different phases of what I write, but it doesn't matter really what you write, just that you have that ongoing sort of dialogue with your journal, because it sets you up for tomorrow so that you can make sure that you are still bringing your purpose to your daily life, that you're paying into that mortgage of the life that you want to live instead of just reacting to things that happen. And it also lets you do the family photo trick of looking back. I go back through my journal every week or so, just kind of flip back through some pages at random to see if I've made progress. Am I still harping about the same thing I was 2 months ago? And if so, maybe I better get serious about that. And
Conveyor belt is not at the right speed.
Yeah, and if I'm not, then I can say, well, look at that. I did grow. It didn't seem like it because I was just caught up in it and doing the daily doing stuff. But when you look back over it in writing, you can say, well, yeah, I have made progress. So that daily journaling to me is my primary tool for growth. It keeps me on track. It keeps me focused on bringing my heart. It helps me work through stuff that I can bring out of the emotion-charged moment into just a little contemplative state at the end of the day where it's not all there on me with people talking at me in that moment. It does a lot of things for me, and I would recommend that to Teresa. That's a great way to focus what you're trying to accomplish in your growth.
You know, I had that same thing written down for one of my baby steps.
Uh-huh.
Because I have always, through all these years of teaching, I have asked students to journal. I think it's, and if your journaling hasn't changed, then you need to look at that, because I don't journal the same way that I did a year ago.
Yeah, I don't journal the same way I did last month.
No. Your journaling changes because that creative force always has the conveyor belt moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's always moving. Growth is always moving. Now, that doesn't mean that I haven't been journaling for 30 years.
Right.
But who I am in that journaling is changing. It doesn't mean that I have to go out and buy a new house every year to have change, but who I am in that house needs to be changed. It's that movement, so that creative force is going along at the same pace. Your spiritual growth is moving at the same pace as all the other things in your life. If they are running ahead, then your conveyor belt for growth is going too slow.
And I had a really cool experience recently with journaling. You know, I journal personally, and I don't do this at my house, but maybe I should. I went into somebody else's house, and it was...
And you read their journal? Oh, my.
Well, they had a house journal. Uh-oh. They had a journal that they left right out in the lobby next to the front door. And there was a bunch of different people that lived there. It was a community living situation, so they had roommates. And I think they used it to communicate between themselves because, you know, sometimes somebody was out and somebody came in and said, remember to, you know, fix leaky door or something like that. But they also had a little sign there that said, hey there, neighbor, tell us how we're doing. And so I wrote a little something in their journal, you know. Glad to know you people. You really inspire me with your commitment, something like that. And I thought, you know, how cool would that be that if everybody that stopped by your house was able to add a little something to your journal, and then when you went back and looked at it, you could get not only your opinion of how far you've come, but you could see how other people were seeing you a month ago or a year ago and how that's changed.
You know, that's probably the thing people hide from the most is how other people see them.
Uh-huh.
they try to put up an image to different people. But if you really get to growth, you're going to be growing like we talk about all the time from the inside out. And so everything that you run into will be a lesson to either show you that you're not claiming that energy in your life or showing you how much you are.
Mm-hmm.
And those are basically the only two things that you need to see.
Right.
And so as you journal, you begin to say, oh, well, look, I really empowered this today, this mm-hmm. energy of growth, or this energy of peace, or this energy of commitment, or this energy of loyalty, or whatever the energy for the day is for you. I really did. I was me, and this is how it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And in this interaction, I failed to be me. And so I can see that I have a wound there. So growth is about healing wounds, moving forward.
Yeah.
And that's basically what it is. And if we don't think we have any wounds, you're totally in denial. And if you think you've grown through all your wounds, again, you're totally in denial, because as long as you're in this life, it's about that creative force moving through you. That's the God within that is moving within you out into the world. We have another email from Bill in Orlando. Bill's another regular. I want to grow, but life gets hard and I get depressed. Some days I don't even get out of bed. Is there another hard energy that I could work on first before growth?
I would say love might be a place to start. I have several t-shirts from a company called Life is Good, and they've got a little stick figure guy, you know, skiing, or on my shirt he's getting a massage because I'm a massage therapist, but they have a bunch of different shirts with this little guy just enjoying his life. And there's a little tag down near the hem of it that you can hardly see. It's usually tucked into your pants. But
we're going to have to ask this company to sponsor us.
Yeah. When you wash the shirt, you'll notice the tag. And I looked at it, and it says, do what you love, love what you do. And I realized that, you know, when we talk about living vertically instead of reacting to all the things in your life, living from that higher purpose and making sure that you're growing according to more and more of that real you coming through, that's what you have to focus on. You have to make sure that you are finding some way every day to bring what you love about yourself out into this world and not just handling whatever the situation is. And I think if you're focused on bringing some piece of you that you really love out into physical manifestation, then you will find yourself growing.
You know, I work with our children here, and I did a class for them this weekend, and we talked about how to deal. They all said that the thing they really didn't like to have to deal with was meanness in other people, and we talked about being able to say when somebody's being mean, well, that's just your opinion, or that's just your picture, or that's the way you see it, but that's not the way I see it or feel it, or believe it, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not mine. That's yours. That's not mine. And I really do believe that when we can begin to see that everyone out there is, and I went ahead, by the way, I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. I went ahead to tell the kids, even if you don't agree with them and what they're saying or doing or projecting on you, if you don't agree with that, you say you don't. But you know that their heart is still agreeing with you.
Right.
It wants to be with your heart, even if their patterns don't, their heart wants to be. And I think that's why people get depressed. They don't look up high enough.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look beyond just the patterns that are sort of mean, like the kids said,
right,
up a little higher. And that's all I was trying to teach these children to do, was to go beyond what seems to be mean, just put a barrier and say, the mean can't get into me, but they can get into me on another level, just to look a little higher. I would recommend that to you, Bill. In closing, I want to remind you that we do have an archive of all these shows so that you can go back, and if there's a particular energy that you get any particular morning when you're meditating that seems to be a little difficult for you, go back and check out that energy. We may have it or may not as one of our shows, but if we do, listen to it, and I'm sure it will help you. Be sure to check out, if you don't already have, A Toolbox for Personal Growth. And for the person that's working on relationship issues, there's Soulmate or Cellmate. And then there's the basic primer, Spiritual Energy Cycles. You will find something that will help you to grow when you go to our website and check out what we have available, because that's what our life's intent is about, is helping people to grow, to find out who they are as a heart being rather than just all of their patterns of doing and achieving and making do in the world. So do check on the website, check out the archives. All of these things support you in growth. Remember to let your heart matter, and thank you again for listening.